Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, author, and host of Being Fabulously Fit for God's Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. Renee provides a roadmap to staying healthy and fit spiritually and physically. She believes God gave us a gift, our temple, and it's ours to nourish, feed, and honor. Be sure to also catch her on ResultsByRenee.com. That's ResultsByRenee.com. And now, here is Renee.
Hello, 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 everyone out there. This is Renee Wiggins, your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually and physically fit. Well, you'll know that March is National Nutrition Month as well as Natural Spiritual Wellness Month. But first, I'm going to be talking about March's Natural Nutrition Month. I have a little PSA here, and I want you to listen to it.
March is National Nutrition Month. This year, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics encourages everyone to bite into a healthy lifestyle. Consuming fewer calories, making informed food choices, and getting daily exercise are key to maintaining a healthy weight, reducing your risk of chronic disease, and promoting your overall health. A registered dietitian nutritionist can help you develop a healthy lifestyle plan that is right for you. Learn more by visiting www.eatright.org.
Well, that was our little PSA for National Nutrition Month with this March here, and they were talking about the physical foods, about daily eating and exercise and bite into a healthy lifestyle. Well, this is also Spiritual Wellness Month, and we're going to talk about biting into a spiritual world through daily prayer, daily meditation, and daily devotion. And so tonight I have Wally Zambrano, is a meditation specialist, Christian life coach, and a supervisor for the Department of Homeland Security at Chicago O'Hare's Airport. Wally, as a kid, grew up in the city streets of Chicago during the 60s and 70s. At the age of 24, while in college, he began a personal spiritual journey that led him into the world of meditation. He was fascinated by the language of awareness and how thoughts affected not only our beliefs, but also our faith. After 6 months of intense practice, an inner transformation opened his eyes into the spiritual realm. He went on to have his own spiritual practice and gradually began to lose the spiritual awakening he had experienced. It was, however, in Iraq where a traumatic event that nearly caused him to have a complete nervous breakdown reawakened his spiritual path towards meditation. It was in that moment of fear, anguish, fears, demonic attacks, and cry out to God that resulted in a gentle voice that told him to breathe, to just breathe, allow the spirit within to take control of the situation. The voice guided him into a deep spiritual meditation that allowed him to recover and heal from the event. So Wally decided to form the Christian Meditation Academy, an organization established to teach Christians that integrated mindfulness, meditation with biblical practices and principles is a safe and highly effective tool for developing a strong spiritual walk with God. I like that. I'm going to say it again. A strong spiritual walk with God. Because a lot of people out there think of meditation of like, sort of either taboo or not right. But meditation, we need our devotion and prayer in the morning. So we're going to talk to Wally.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for inviting me today, Renee. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on, because when I read your bio, I said, wow, this is really, a transformation really occurred in your lives here, dealing with, you know, learning meditation and then, you know, had to drop it for your practice because you were going back and forth, and then God called you to come back into it. I really, really in awe of it, because a lot of us think of meditation as not for Christians. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, the sad thing about it is that meditation is so powerful and so effective, but at the same time, Satan has done a fantastic job of covering it up from us. Because when you look at the meditation where basically it derives, what we recognize as stillness meditation, it derives from the East. So you're talking through the Buddhist temple, through the Buddhist religion, through the Hindus, and also through the New Age movement. And so the way, when you go into their meditations, basically God is nothing more than a universal source of energy that can be tapped into. And then from there, we become an energy. And we also are co-creators with nature, and we're able to tap into that source, that energy, which is what they call God, and then you're able to manifest the desires of your heart through the law of attraction, the secret, and all these other things. And then when they are seeking guidance from some sort of spiritual source through the meditation, they're using what's called either ascended masters or angels of light. But we understand in 2 Corinthians 11, 14-15, it says, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." So when you look at meditation that comes from the East, you'll see that they have the seven chakras. They also, some of them have the kundalini snake that's inside, and that through fire breathing you awaken the snake that's inside of you, and from there you become enlightened. And so you can see why Christians and even the leadership has basically placed it as a taboo, that it's not something that we should practice. But when you remove all of that stuff, when you filter all of that and get it into its purest form, and then you realize that the Holy Spirit is the one that's within you and that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit if you truly are a believer, and you go inside and in the state of stillness and you spend time with the Holy Spirit and also the temple that's within you, it can be an extremely powerful experience.
You're right, because when I was practicing meditation, it took me a long time because I had to really still my mind. So I had to do it on look at a candle and just say, "Peace be still, peace be still." Try to still that mind so we could at least close my eyes and really slow down. And, you know, you're breathing, you become more calm, more relaxed. In the Bible, the word meditation is mentioned anyway, you know, several times in the Bible. And yet, as you say, the Christians think of it as taboo. But you think, or should think, or I should say, you practice it daily. And I want you to give the reasons why you do it and why we should do it.
Well, it goes back to back in 1984, when I was in college. I was Catholic at the time, and I was just kind of wandering in my college years when it came to my spiritual life. And I found some books that dealt with Buddhist meditation and all that, and I was very struck by it because it talked about awareness, about being present in this moment, about how thoughts can deceive us, and how if we actually look at our thoughts and acknowledge that they're not truly our thoughts, that they're just, you know, thoughts come and go all the time, and that we don't attach ourselves so much to it, that it can be a very powerful experience, and the spirit that is within you can actually be empowered. And so I did a six-month trial. I said, let me really go into this, and for 6 months I meditated close to 4 to 5 hours a day. And I did it for 6 months. And I'm going to tell you, Renee, after the 6 months, the transformation that I went through when it came through the sinful nature, I mean, if you talk about walking in the Spirit, I was walking truly in the Spirit. I mean, I felt the presence of God everywhere. From the moment I woke up to the point when I went to bed, I could feel His presence with me everywhere I went. Now, even though I was, practicing this and I did, I was Catholic and I didn't really understand the full area of the Bible itself. I never studied it. I just read it here and there. I did always have it with me in front of me, and I would read Bible verses, and I would kind of meditate into that as I was in that stillness. But, I mean, I literally went through a complete transformation when it came to, drugs and alcohol, sex, you know, just the things that capture us in the world as a young man of 24 years of age. And all of that went away. I mean, I had absolutely no desire for any of that. And I was walking in such a state of peace and tranquility and in such harmony with God Himself. And I got to a point where I was like, holy cow, man. I don't mean holy cow, but as I was like, oh, my God, I'm to a point where I'm almost at the crosswalk where if I keep going this route, I'm going to end up being some kind of monk, or I should stop and then go and, you know, continue down, you know, kind of stop this and get back to the world where, you know, I'm going to meet a girl, I'm going to get married, we're going to have children and all that, because I was losing all of that. And so I decided to stop, and then I went back to my old ways, and then it went from there. But I always remembered those moments. I always remember those feelings and how well disciplined I was and how the sinful nature and the temptations of the world were really, really out of touch with me.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful because, you know, for my listeners out there, you know, when you first, you know, join church and then you accept God in your life, it's almost something similar. You really, you know, press. You're really studying. You're having fellowship. You're reading the Bible. You're praying all the time. You're going to church all the time. And all of a sudden, as you say, you forget about the people, all the other distractions in the world. They sort of become what you want to say, push away. You don't want them. You don't feel right being around. I know one time I was in a room with a full of women, and this one girl, she was just talking, I don't know, like out of this world, and I actually felt or even saw a glass bubble come up surrounding me. It was like God was protecting me from her ways. So I guess you went through that transformation also. Now, you were talking about then, okay, in Iraq again, you had another transformation. Mm-hmm. So explain to us about that one.
Well, it had we're talking about 10 years had gone by, and I was married at this time. I was a producer-director for a Christian television station in Chicago, but I was also in the National Guard. And I had, at this point, I'm a Christian for 10 years, but, you know, like most Christians, you notice you're still struggling with things. You know, you're still struggling with temptations, the things of the flesh. You got bills. You got children to raise. There's all of these things that provide a lot of stress and anxiety. Well, to add to that, I was in the National Guard 23 years, so I deployed to Iraq in 2003, and while I was out there, we were based in Kuwait getting ready to go into Iraq, and I was in a tent in the command center, and I was cleaning up, and I still don't know what it was, but I inhaled something. And to me, I get the feeling it was some kind of very fine white sand because in Kuwait out there in the desert, it's very fine. And it went into my lungs, and it almost felt like charred glass was in my lungs. And I got really bad. It really hurt my lungs. But at that time, I was also the first sergeant. I was in command of 35 soldiers, and I didn't want to go to the medics because I didn't want to, you know, lose that responsibility of taking my soldiers. I was more committed to that. So with the charred glass in feeling inside of my chest, I had problems sleeping, and the stress and anxiety was just really, really intense for me. And so I would basically just watch the sun rise and the sunset every single day. And the only thing that would actually save me is that I had a number of worship CDs like Michael W. Smith and Toby Mac. And like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd be out there with my CD player just worshiping God and saying, Lord, I don't know what's happening to me. I can't handle this. You told me I could not, that you would never, you know, give me something more than I could handle. But I haven't slept in days. Well, those days actually went into weeks, and we actually eventually went into Iraq. And on the 17th day, I was we were in the base camp, and I was by myself in my room. And all of a sudden, it became the compilation of everything, and my hands started trembling, my head started spinning, and I started to hear these voices, and these voices started telling me, you're not going to make it. You should kill yourself. This is, you know, you're never going to see your family again. And it went on and on and on. And Renee, I'm going to tell you, this was not my voice that I was hearing. It was actually a discernible exterior voice with a different tone than mine, which was really scaring me. And then all of a sudden I saw this huge cloud. I had a vision of this very, very dark cloud with these demonic eyes looking at me, hovering over me. And then right there and there, I knew it was, you know, a very strong demonic attack. And so I threw myself on the cot. I was sleeping in the cot at that time, and I curled myself like a little baby, and I was crying, and my hands are trembling. I'm out of control. And all of a sudden, I hear a small voice saying, Waldemar, which is my real first name. He says, just breathe. And I was like, what? And he says, just breathe. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. So then I laid flat, and I took a very gentle, light breath. And when I took a little bit of a deeper breath, it felt like my finger was inside of an electrical socket. I got this incredibly a painful electric charge that went through my whole body, and I fell off of the cot, and I go, my God, my nervous system is shot. There's actually some kind of damage done to my nervous system, because just the fact that I just breathed a little bit just knocked me out of whack. So I said, let me keep doing this, you know, because the voice kept saying, just breathe, Waldemar, just breathe. So I went back on the cot, and I breathed again, and once again I felt that very painful electrical shock, and I said, I have to breathe through this, you know. So I started doing, since I was experienced in meditation, I just started doing some deep, gentle breathing, and at this point I understood, you know, I went through Bible studies, and I had been a deacon, so I had a very good, strong grasp of who I was as a Christian and the Bible itself. So I was calling upon the Holy Spirit within me to, you know, to just help me get through this, you know, and I was doing the breathing exercises and just breathing, and then suddenly I fell asleep. And I fell asleep for about 3 hours. When I woke up, I was so happy because I was like, my God, I finally, after 17 days, I went to sleep. And so I went back to work, and then that night I went back into the breathing exercise, you know, the breathing meditation, and I fell asleep for 5 hours. And then the days progressed, and I was able to go back to the normal 8-hour day. So I think when it talked about stress and anxiety and everything, that was, I had reached the point where I couldn't go any further. So I thank God that he was there for me and that he guided me through this. But it also made me aware that there was something to this meditation. And that's when I started going back into the practice itself. But, of course, I always want to make sure that the audience understands that every single time I always filtered out all the Eastern philosophy and beliefs about the chakras and the kundalini and all that. It was always meditating in stillness with the Holy Spirit within me, guiding me.
True, and that's what the listeners have to understand, that, you know, we meditate with the biblical scriptures, and when you think of God and think of him really, and when I look at a flame, like this yellow part or white part of the flame, because in the deep part is purple, and then you see the white part, I focus on that white part. When you do that, you're not thinking about it as being taboo. It's something that's really making you still, because prayer to me means you talk to God. Meditation means to me you're listening to what he has
exactly,
to tell you.
Exactly.
And when we instill, we don't have all those distractions around us. While you really went through a lot of profound transformation, it's almost like Jesus in the garden being tempted by the devil, and here you're in desert sand being tempted again. He's trying to pull you down, but then God's letting you, he never leave you nor forsake you. Wow, that's really beautiful. So for my listeners out there, think about getting up early in the morning, doing your prayer, doing your devotion, you know, writing in your journal, and meditating. Because for me, again, it's, again, like you say, going in deep and become oneness with God, focus on and listen to what they have to say, because otherwise we get busy. Wow, that is beautiful, what you have, the experience you have, because you really can relate it to us. So, Wally, how did you get started with the Christian Meditation Academy? Because do you have a lot of people? Or when you mentioned, do people shy away from you?
No, actually, a lot of Christians embrace it. And on my Facebook page and also on the website, I've been getting a lot of Christians who have been commenting saying, Wally, you're a godsend. They're like, for so many years we've been looking for something like this that, you know, where somebody that can lead us and guide us into a Christian meditation as opposed to the Eastern meditations, because they've been looking, you know, a lot of Christians, when you look at it, still continue to struggle. You know, the divorce rate, the rate of people with Christians with addictions, pornography, abuse, all of these things. You know, when you look at the Barna report, it's still the same as the world itself. So what is going on? Why is it that Christians, once they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they continue to struggle, you know? So I began to do research on this, and I said, you know what? I think that a lot of Christians, that there's so much information, the information highway is so intense that their minds are so filled with their own thoughts and their own bunch of information that they just cannot be patient enough to sit down and sit in stillness. And when you look at the Christian meditation market itself, in the world, there is really not that much. I mean, everything is Eastern meditation. Nobody has really taken the step in the Christian community There's about one or two of them. There's some other ones that I've seen that also get into Christian meditation, but they kind of fall into the mystics, and then they start going into the, I noticed some of them do engage with the chakras and some of those other things. I totally am against all of that. You know, my thing is the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? And so we have to understand that, which is interesting, let me go back a little bit, is that in Eastern meditation, they say that you need a meditation counselor, a spiritual counselor that will come to you and guide you into the higher realms of spirit of your spiritual walk. Well, I'm like, well, I understand that the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus left the Holy Spirit here as our guide and as our teacher. And it tells us that the Holy Spirit resides within us. So it would make sense to me that we would need to meditate in stillness, because once you do that, once you meditate in stillness and you breathe in, you're going inward. You're beginning to experience something inside. And in that inside is the spirit realm, which is, you know, who you are besides the flesh. And so so when you begin the breathing process and you draw in, it's like I can kind of say like it's just this very intimate relationship. You know how if you're, those of you that are either married or if you have a significant other, that, you know, there's those moments when you're sitting together, lying together, just in quietness, you know, just embracing each other and feeling the love between the two of you without saying anything. And it's almost the same thing, but not only are you embracing the Holy Spirit within you, but at that point, you're being nourished by Him, you're being healed by Him, and He's beginning to reveal things about your life. If there's things that you're struggling with, it begins to heal you and to destroy those footholds that the demonic have on you. And what I've noticed that is very interesting is that when you do begin stillness meditation and you draw in, right away the mind begins to try to prevent you from doing that. It begins to battle with you and say, you don't have time for this. This is not biblical. You don't have time. You got so much to do. You got bills to pay. You got the TV show you want to watch. You got time to do this, you know. And so your mind begins to trick you into thinking that you're too busy to do that, which is an indicator that it doesn't want you to draw inside. And we understand that in the Bible it tells us that the mind is deceptive as well as the heart when it's not in its pure form. And so that's why the first thing you're like is, wow, why is my mind trying to prevent me from being still and going inside? It's because the flesh battles with the spirit and the spirit battles with the flesh. And if you use stillness meditation and you learn to discipline yourself and strengthen yourself, the spirit within you will begin to take hold and become stronger, more powerful, and then your thoughts and your mind will become more, it'll be disciplined and it'll be enslaved by the strength of the spirit that's within you.
Go ahead and preach, Wally. Go ahead and preach. You write about that.
Yeah.
Because we got to be still, and we don't.
And, you know, here it says in Galatians, this is what I was looking for, in 5:16-18, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And so, once again, when you're walking in the Spirit, and let me see, I'm trying to find where it says the, excuse me one second, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, you're looking for walk by faith and not by sight. So my listeners out there, listen to Wally. He's telling the truth. Sit down and just relax. Just, you know, just say, peace be still. Look at that candle and sort of really listen to what God has to say for you and become one with God. You know, He is our source of power. And like you said, the Holy Spirit is in us. A lot of people say, oh, He was filled with the Spirit that day. We all have the Holy Spirit. It's just learn to tap into that Holy Spirit, which we do not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other interesting thing that I found during my research was that when you look at the Hebrew and the Greek language, when it talks about the Spirit and in the Hebrew, it uses the word ruach. And ruach, when you look at the English translation, is a combination of two things. It's breath and spirit. And yet, so I'm like, why would it use both words, breath and spirit? Why doesn't it just use spirit? And then again, in the New Testament, they use the term pneuma, which also means breath and spirit. They're interchangeable based depending on what the writer was trying to signify. So I'm like, so that was beginning to tell me that the Lord was telling us that the breath and the spirit are joined together, that there's a cohesiveness between the two of them. So when you're breathing in, when you're breathing into inside and drawing inside, you're basically going, you're beginning to connect with your breath to the spirit that's within you. And so that's why when you're in stillness and you just begin the breathing process, you'll notice right away. Because, I mean, there's people, the Christians, that I've done the meditation practice, and they come out of there, and the first thing they're like, wow. Because I would talk to them, I'd say, hey, I said, you've been a Christian how long? So I'm saying, you know, 10, 15 years. I go, have you ever taken the time to actually sit down and go inside and get done to know the spirit that's within you? And they're like, huh? I go, yeah, have you been ever gone deeply inside of yourself to understand who you are inside as a being and also the soul that's within you and also the spirit within you? Have you gone and gone still and get the feeling of who your spirit actually is? Because if you have to walk in the spirit, how are you going to know you're walking in the spirit unless you understand who your spirit is? And a lot of people don't get that. They don't understand what that means. They're confused. And so once I draw them into the meditation and they get a taste of what it is to be still and to draw in, they're just blown away, you know. And it's a wonderful experience. And I always say, well, you know, the measure of if you're walking in the spirit is Galatians 5:22-23, which talks about the fruit of the spirits, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, when you look at the word self-control, it's a Greek word called enkratia, which means possessing power, strong, having mastery or possession of. So it's telling us that part of self-control is that we have to be able to master ourselves. We have to discipline who we are as a human being when it comes to the temptations and all of these things. So how do we do that? How do we master ourselves from all the temptations and sinful ways of the way life is? Well, when you look at stillness meditation and when you see the research that's been coming out lately, and then once again, unfortunately, all the body of research that's coming out is coming from people that are not Christians because, you know, they're from the New Age movement or they're the Buddhists, from the Hindus. They've been doing research for hundreds of years, and there's so much data available on the effects of meditation. But, of course, the Christian community will not accept any of that. But I grabbed it. I started doing the research. The findings are amazing. There was just one 2 years ago, I think it was, from the University of University of Massachusetts, where they did a study for mindfulness meditation, and they had 20. They had I think it was 30 participants who spent 20. First, they did an MRI scan of their brain prior to doing the meditation. Mm-hmm. They had to make sure that they didn't know what meditation was at all, that they had never done it or practiced it. Then they trained them, and then they had them do 27 minutes of meditation a day, every single day, for 30 days. For 8 weeks. And so halfway through, they did another MRI scan of their brain to see, you know, what it looked like. And then after they finished, they did another scan. And then a couple weeks after that, they did another scan. And so what they found was, it says, the analysis of MR images, which focus on areas where meditation-associated differences were seen in earlier studies, found increased gray matter density in the hippocampus, known to be important for learning and memory, as well as self-awareness, compassion, and introspection. So there was actually a change. It's called neuroplasty. There was an actual change in the brain formation where that area where it talks about self-awareness, compassion, self-reflection, and memory, the gray area there actually became denser, meaning that it got stronger. And then it showed that in the area of the amygdala, which is known to play an important role in anxiety and stress, the actual gray area actually minimized. And the word that the professor said, that he said that it seems like after 8 weeks of the meditation, there was a renewing of the mind. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, you know, Jesus says, wow, let your mind be renewed. And
right, we got 10 seconds. This is helpful. I'm going to bring you back on because this has been very good, very good. Oh, this is beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
It went so fast. Boy, you've been very helpful here. So we got 10 seconds. I want you to give your website to everybody, please.
Yes, it's meditation, ChristianMeditationToday.com. It's ChristianMeditationToday.com. There's a free meditation there. Just sign up for it. We're revamping everything. So if I was telling you that my father passed away about a month and a half ago. We were working very hard on the project, but then my dad had advanced dementia, and so I had to spend the last 6 months of his life with him, helping and caring for him. But he passed away about a month and a half ago. So we're charging forward right now with the Christian Meditation Academy, which will be a full 8-week training program. So just sign up and for the meditation, and we'll keep you abreast of what's going on.
Good. And then I will get your email, too, and give it out to everybody so they can go to your website. Oh, thank you very much. This has been very helpful. I'm going to have you back on again because I know I learned a lot, and so did my listeners as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Renee, and thank you to everybody that listened.
Oh, take care. Thank you.